You're tuning in to the Moss LeRae Show.
Purpose is more so allowing God's will to be done.
We need to give our kids and our young people the opportunity to dream to be kings and queens.
My identity isn't in what I do, but it's in who I am.
I'm your host, Alicia LeRae Ellis. Never miss a beat. Stay mic'd up with Moss LeRae.
Welcome to the Moss LeRae Show. I am your host, Alicia LeRae Ellis, and we are at the Cleveland International Film Festival, and we have a very special guest with us today, Carolyn Jones from American Delivery. How are you today?
Well, I'm excited because our film had a world premiere last night. We had a sold-out house, which was super exciting, and we had a lot of the subjects for the film that were there, and we were able to celebrate them. So it's been quite a beginning of the journey for this film.
Yes, it was amazing. I had an opportunity, the pleasure of being there last night. The energy, I mean, when I walked by and saw the line literally out the front doors of Playhouse to come through this main lobby, I was just like, wow, are they all here for this? And then seeing familiar faces in the Cleveland area around the healthcare system, the energy was amazing. And then at the end, you brought up like almost everybody involved, and that was just so powerful. What was behind that of getting the recognition for folks that were involved in this film to be a part of opening night in the world premiere?
Well, so that, you know, once we started filming, and we filmed all across America, but a lot of our film was shot here in Ohio. And there were a lot of reasons for that. It's such a great cross-section of America. There are so many challenges here that people are facing head on. And so we came here, captured a lot of stories, and we decided to try to finish the film in time to be here for this festival.
Wow.
So we like slipped in like last minute entry and kept our fingers crossed that we were going to get into the festival, delighted and thrilled that we were. And as soon as we found out we were here, we were like, every single person who gave us their time and energy and effort to be in the film, I wanted to celebrate
yes.
them. And so we invited them all here. I mean, we filmed moms' births, you know,
right.
and so they deserved to be recognized for
absolutely.
That.
Yeah. It was amazing. Standing ovation as well. I think we could have stood for like your guys' whole panel at the end as well. But why don't you go ahead and share with us about American Delivery, kind of the overall summary, and then we'll get into like your passion and your inspiration behind making this film.
Sure. So the history of this film is really, I've been kind of looking at the world through the lens of nurses for a really long time. I'm really interested in the nurse perspective because they're looking at our whole body. They look at us holistically, and they have a really good understanding. So we were trying to see where nurses are really moving the needle in America. And we had connected with Case Western and the Francis Payne Bolton School of Nursing at Case Western and Joyce Fitzpatrick in particular, and started thinking about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and looking at what the global problems are, looking at health globally. And one of the things that really rose to the surface was the maternal mortality crisis. And of course, you know, in this country, in our headlines, left and right, you see the numbers of what's going on here. And it's so complicated. So we decided to dig in on that and try to look at how women are giving birth in the United States and give people a really good understanding of what that looks like. But the more we dug in, the more complex the issues were revealed. And so we kind of started to pull back and say, we have to remind people what we're fighting for here. We have to remind people what it looks like to give birth, what it looks like to have a C-section, what it looks like to have a midwife with you. And we just thought we needed to re-educate people and get us out of this kind of medicalization of birth. And that became the thing that I really wanted to fight against, was that we look at pregnant women in this country as patients.
Wow.
In other countries, they don't look at women as patients when they're pregnant. You see a midwife and you're just a mom to be. You're you're not sick. You know, you don't really need a doctor. You just need guidance to get through this period of your life. And it's such a better way to approach it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I've heard a lot. I started my first company in public health back in 2015. And so a lot of the work that I did, I learned about infant mortality. I learned about the social determinants of health, like food deserts. All of this was the center of our business. And I worked in that company for 4 to 5 years and really was immersed in this public health crisis that we have in the city of Cleveland. But I never really heard about the mortality. So I know there's a lot of data, there's a lot of pushes and agendas around the infant mortality, but for you all to focus on the mothers, I thought was very symbolic in the timing of that. So can you share kind of your focus on choosing the mother to really focus on her and her being the center along with the nurses in this film?
Sure. Well, one of the problems in our country is that we got very focused on the infant. Mm. So the baby would be born and all the attention was on the baby. And very often what was happening was mothers are hemorrhaging and dying from preeclampsia, severe preeclampsia, and we weren't paying attention. We weren't listening. And we weren't listening to the signs of what was going to lead us there, high blood pressure and things that you could really look for that aren't that difficult if you're listening. And so that's the biggest problem, is we're not listening to women. And I think that was a recurring theme as I talked to moms, particularly here in Cleveland, that they didn't feel as though anybody heard them. And so very often, though, if I would talk to a mom who had a midwife, that would be the first thing she'd say. I felt like somebody heard me.
Yeah.
I felt like they knew what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So it was an important distinction for us to make, to focus on the mom. It's the moms that are dying. And when a mom dies and a baby is born, I mean, this just sort of rips the heart out of a right. family. You know, mm-hmm. especially if there are other children there, it really changes the fabric of our society and our communities. So it's important that we really get it together and take care of moms in the way we need to. You know, I'm glad you mentioned social determinants of health, because so many things lead us to the point
right.
where we're not caring mm-hmm. for the mom.
Yep.
And we need to have more things in place to make sure that there are programs available so that we can.
Absolutely. It's holistic. And I think so much in our American society is that we departmentalize everything. It's like healthcare is over here, financial, this is over here, food is over here. It's like, no, when I get up in the morning, I'm a whole being and everything's connected to me and us as humans. And so I love what the film represents. Can you provide some of the context of the research and data so that our audience can have a better understanding of like why this film even matters and the data behind America compared to other countries?
Sure.
As it relates to the maternal mortality?
Absolutely. So it's a dismal thing to realize, but America has the worst maternal mortality numbers of any wealthy nation. And there are so many reasons for this. Racism is a huge reason for it. Again, the social determinants of health is really a big reason for this. But how can this be? We spend more money on healthcare here than anywhere in the world. And how can we have the worst numbers? I just find that Dr. Erica Steed from MetroHealth says it so brilliantly. She just said, it's just unacceptable.
Yeah.
It is unacceptable that women are dying here mm-hmm. with the amount of technology and the money that we have. And so that was really like a driving force to get in there and focus on why America is in this boat and what can we do to show people a path out mm-hmm. of it. You know, I feel as though we have so much negative media in our news right now. And it's a very difficult time to be in this country. Women's health has taken a major hit. We silo women's health in a really unfortunate way. As you said, like looking at people holistically is so important. If you can offer a service, but if a mom can't leave her other child to get in a car and drive an hour to a clinic to go get the work done that needs to be done to find out what's wrong,
right.
where are we? Mm-hmm. That doesn't do us any good, right? So there's a lot of change that needs to be made. But the only way we can make change is if women know what to ask for and if we recognize the issues.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's about awareness.
Yep. And that was something that was covered in almost every element of the film. And then afterwards, there was an amazing conversation with you and Dr. Erica from the CEO of MetroHealth and a couple others to talk about the main thing is listening.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing I kept hearing. It was like the common thread throughout the full film, but also the conversation. And one of the statistics, obviously, that jumped out when you talk about Black women in health is it's like five times more the chance of them to lose their life in pregnancy. And then you reverse that into infant mortality. As a city, right, we're leading the country. There's certain zip code pockets in our city that leads the country in infant mortality. And you pair that with the mothers, it's like, these things are not condensed, like they're not a coincidence that right. they are occurring. So can you talk a little bit about that and the importance for you to highlight that in the film and not shy away from the reasons that we are in the space that we're in as a country and as for women?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very delicate line we're mm-hmm. talking about, is to show people what's going on in the country and what some of the difficulties are and what's really going on. The numbers are abysmal. You know, you're right. Black women die, if you look at the whole country, three times more often than white women after birth. And the infant mortality rate is through the roof. Here in Cleveland, black babies are four times more likely to die than white babies. So how do we combat that? How do we fix that? One of the ways is in the film, you meet Toni Tipton, who's she's a certified nurse midwife and a nurse practitioner at a federally qualified health center in Dayton, Ohio. And she runs a black mother breastfeeding class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way out of this is working together yep. as a community and offering the people in the community what you need to get over the hump mm-hmm. to make a difference. Breastfeeding can minimize infant mortality like you wouldn't believe. And we're not breastfeeding in this country very much. It became sort of unpopular, which is an overriding theme that I really tried to get to. You know, we're really into data and charts, and someone comes in and they're pregnant and we think, you know, you have to have these things happen at these moments while you're going through labor. And so we've standardized things and we've medicalized things. And along with that, that's where the stopping of the listening goes in, because well, we're not following this chart exactly, right? And then we say, there's a certain time element too, because for us, time is money. We don't have universal health care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it matters how many C-sections are in a hospital or how many births. And so if it's taking too long and you need to free up that room, you need to keep that birth yeah. moving along. Well, time is something that you can't really dictate to a laboring mom.
Right.
So the listening and the time factor are two things that I think will make a huge difference if we can recognize it and women can ask for those two things.
Yeah, that's amazing. And her story in the film about, you know, she was so excited to be the first black midwife in Southern Ohio, and then to realize, like, well, why? And you hear so much, and there's still, like, groundbreaking. You see, oh, there's the first black woman CEO, and the first still happening in 2024. And I think it was important to highlight that and highlight her vulnerability in that moment as well, because a lot of times, and I can speak for myself, you get into this type of work, social justice and looking, you know, for equitable outcomes, and you get into it, and you're so excited, but then you realize, like, there's reasons why we're not in these spaces and how heavy this work is and how draining it could be. So for you, right, your passion, I want to kind of understand, like, why are you passionate about this work? What inspired you to want to do this type of film?
Well, my interest in nurses goes back a few years. I was trained as a photographer, and okay. I did a book called The American Nurse, where I went across America and interviewed over 100 nurses and photographed them for a book because I was asked to do it. I did the project because I had had breast cancer, and I had a remarkable nurse who just, she just had this emotional intelligence that was just off the charts. And she really got me through a really tough time. And I never really thanked her. And I always felt kind of crummy about that. So when I was asked to do a book about nurses, I really embraced it. And I discovered something in this profession. These are a group of people that spend all day, every day, talking to people in an authentic and realistic way. There's no facade. They are able to break through, look at us holistically, think about what our support system is, understand our health from a unique perspective. In a country where everything is politicized, for me to be able to look at, and I've looked at a number of things over the years through this particular lens, that prison systems, poverty, returning war veterans, the opioid crisis. I looked at COVID in the emergency room. This is my fourth film that's sort of used the lens of nurses to understand something. Mm-hmm. So I'm very motivated by what I read in the news. And all of these headlines about moms dying got completely under my skin. And I just feel as though It's so political to talk about this. And the only way in is this sort of neutral, non-political nurse approach, because they are hardwired to care for us and to make the world a better place. It's true. I mean, they really are. And it's such an extraordinary profession that they were my path in. You know, think about it. I have four births in this film. Now, who's going to let a filmmaker come into the room,
right,
like the
yes.
most intimate moment of their life? But nurses paved the way. Mm-hmm. You know, then a nurse would come in and say, we have a film crew here. Would you be willing to talk to them? And then, you know, people want to tell their story and they wanted to help me tell this
yes.
story. So they agreed.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Last night, one of the questions was from a young woman. She's 19 years old, graduated from Lincoln West. She's now pursuing her degree, practices for nursing and caregiving. She asked a very important question that I wanted to just shine light on and really dive a little deeper with you about: how can her generation help share this story, help advocate for this type of work? And I wanted to give you the opportunity to shine a little bit light about your perspective from that question, and how can we use this platform as a call to action for the younger generation and for us to kind of bridge that gap between intergeneration.
Thank you
yes.
for asking that, because it's so important to me. I have a daughter of child-rearing years. I want to speak to young people so strongly, if we can. You know, I think we get on these paths with medicine in this country. You know, there are certain things that happen a certain way. You find out you're pregnant, you go to an OBGYN doc, and you get on this path. And if you don't know that there are other paths, and frankly, my generation did it that way. So we only have one way of offering this information, right? When our daughters become of child-rearing age, it's kind of hard to get out of the place that we were, mm-hmm. that was kind of a 1950s influenced, you know, medicalization of everything. So how do we get to young people to especially this young generation, your generation that is challenging, is able to say, hey, I want this. The last woman in the film, Dominique, this incredible
yeah.
mom, she's in the hospital. And so I think this is the path through. She's in the hospital. She had a C-section she didn't want. She had been at the Brooklyn Birthing Center. And she's in there. This woman was determined to do things her way. And she had a birth plan, which is probably my biggest message.
That she rewrote on the way to the hospital. That was so awesome.
I know. It was so awesome, right? And then she gets to the hospital. She has to have this C-section she doesn't want. And they're kind of urging her to put the baby on a bottle. And she's like, I decided I was going to breastfeed. I'm going to breastfeed. Somebody get me a breast pump. I'm going to do this thing. And she was breastfeeding by the time she
yeah.
left the hospital. And because she knew how important it was to breastfeed, she knew how important it was to have a birth plan, and she asked for it and she advocated for herself. And that's why we need to talk to your generation mm-hmm. so that you can do it a different way than we did it.
I love that. And I'm hoping that I mentioned you, I connected with her afterwards, and I want to help see how we can help bridge that gap. I want to talk a little bit about your work in film, right? As a director, I want you to kind of share what that journey has been like for you, not just with this film, but you talked about four films total, and what your journey has been from a photographer to now at this level. What has been that storyline for you?
So I guess the first book I did was a book about people living with AIDS. And that book was really big pictures and little quotes. And it's a book I'm really proud of. It was a very provocative time. And before I always took a photograph, I would always sit down and interview someone. I never just have someone kind of walk in the door and arbitrarily decide who they are.
Mm.
You know, I kind of sit down and try to get into as deep a conversation as I can. And then there's like a moment where you understand someone's mannerisms enough, or you've seen the moment enough that you want to take a picture. And I've functioned that way for years. By the time the American Nurse book was the fourth book I published. And by the time I got to that book, it was almost all words and very little photo.
Wow.
So I had gravitated towards realizing how important the content was. And so I started shooting short films, just got more and more interested in telling stories that are real and alive. And I'm just all about communication. Whatever the tool is for me, whether it's photography or it's interviewing or it's a feature-length doc or it's a short, I'm really trying to communicate ideas that we can have agency over our lives. We do have some control, and there are a lot of good things going out there. We just have to find them, and then we have to promote them. So I guess I'm sort of an eternal optimist that's determined to kind of find what we can change instead of being overwhelmed by what we can't.
Yeah, that's awesome. And really, that's what our platform is all about. You know, in 2020, right before the pandemic happened, I was like, you know, I finally have time. I just graduated my MBA. I was like, I had time to finally write. I always saw myself as a writer. I love journaling, short stories, poetry. And I started a platform, Maslare, which means more light. And all of a sudden, COVID happened. And I'm just like, oh my God, and the news was so, everything was so negative. And I knew so many people in the community doing great work. I'm like, well, I want to help share these stories. And we started doing Facebook Live interviews. And we ended up doing like 40, 45 Facebook Live interviews in 2020, featuring these stories across the country that were people in the, what we call like in the work, right? In the grassroots of this work during this global pandemic when so much was shut down. And so I can really appreciate that emphasis of like, no, I can't sleep at night if I have this story that's in me that I want to help share. So with that being said, like what type of advice would you offer somebody in this space of creativity or storytelling that has these like heavy lifting stories like yours, who wants to share but maybe don't know the next steps or how to do it and how to be true and authentic to the story itself? What type of advice would you have for someone who's navigating that space?
I mean, I think the more passionate you are about something, the more you're able to kind of garner the support that you need to do these projects. You know, I don't think any of us do this kind of work that we're doing because it's financially rewarding. We do it because it's kind of gives us purpose in life. Yeah. And so I really believe that if you find that passion, that people will join you. I've always found that throughout my career. I don't have like the magic arrow that will tell you what to do, but and what path to follow. I've had films and books funded by corporations as well as nonprofits and foundations and universities, and each project just sort of has found its own path. But mentorship is also fantastic. I mean, getting a chance to talk to somebody who's traveled that road before is always the best path.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Well, what's the call to action for American Delivery? How can we use this platform to do a call to action for our listeners and the folks that's going to be listening to this interview pretty soon?
I guess the first thing is think about a birth plan, no matter who you are, no matter what stage of life you're at. If you have children that are of child-rearing years or you're thinking about having a child, decide, and being educated and knowing what you want and knowing what to ask for is huge. Yes. You wouldn't believe how much power you have over it if you go in there and you know what you're asking for. So a birth plan is a really big thing. The other thing I would ask is the nursing, we are going to have a nursing shortage. Mm-hmm. And each and every one of us in our lives is going to have their life touched by a nurse, or a loved one's life will be touched by a nurse. And it is... I didn't know anything about nurses, and I certainly didn't expect to spend the last 12 years of my life looking through their lens.
Wow.
But oh my goodness, it's such an extraordinary profession. Mm-hmm. And if I had it to do all over again, as much as I love what I do and I love what I do, I'd be a nurse.
Wow.
I'd be a nurse because it's so rewarding and it makes such a difference. And there's this underlying current of what nurses are able to accomplish in our communities. And that's where change can happen. So, you know, from the government side, it's a slog. Mm. We're not getting a whole lot done. But from the community side, there are people working all the time to make things happen. So I guess I have two prongs to this, which is take charge of starting your own family with a birth plan. Mm-hmm. And also, first of all, we should just all acknowledge nurses all the time because they do a wonderful job. And I don't think they get the honor that they deserve. So, and think of it as a profession.
Absolutely. Thank you for shining a light on that. We love to end our episodes with a pure message. So a pure message for us is a positive message. So it's our platform is all about a pure message for our generation. And we love to ask our guests, what's your pure message for the audience and kind of what keeps you going in the work that you do?
So I love communicating an idea. And as much as whatever's in the media that's negative, that's going on, I always try to find the thing that's positive in there. What can I shine a light on? And I think that has given me a life that has been so rewarding. I urge people to take charge of their own kind of approach to life that way, that if you look for positivity, if you look at the good things people are doing, it might not be the things that are in the headlines of the newspaper, but it's there. It's there. And to tell those stories, I think that's our job. Mm-hmm. Now, I think all of us, that's our job, to tell those stories and inspire others with them.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share before we fully wrap?
Well, I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best of luck. I mean, I think if you can help us get these ideas out to a younger generation, your generation is so exciting to me because you're fearless and you will ask the right questions and come up with the right answers. I'm sure of it.
Thank you so much for joining the show. And thank you so much for making this film.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm hoping that we can support it, but we can get people to rally around it, not only here in Cleveland, but across the world. So thank you so much for joining us. You guys have been tuned in to the Moss LeRae Show here at the Cleveland International Film Fest. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in to the Moss LeRae Show. You can follow us on all social media at Moss LeRae. That's MASLARAE. You can also check out our website for more behind-the-scenes content at mossleRae.com.